Praise the Lord. Amen. I guess just preface this by saying I don't claim to be the master of this subject, but I do feel like the Lord gave me something kind of regarding this. As a matter of fact, the topic of submission and the passage of Scripture in particular that I'm going to be reading, I actually was in my Bible reading this morning. I took notes on the subject. So I am going to, I know I only have 10 minutes, and so I'm going to kind of try to speed through this a little bit. And my mind was racing in a lot of different ways because it's a big subject, and to try to kind of just condense, I guess, what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart. But I am going to read a few scriptures just to open for context here. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. This was Jesus speaking in the Garden of Gethsemane, and these were the words of Jesus. He said, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 9, very familiar portion of Scripture. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he proceeds to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. And in Scripture, just as a basic definition, I guess, of submission, voluntarily placing oneself under authority or guidance of another, literally a submission, right? Like my personal mission is a submission to the main mission, which is who? It's God, right? God is the mission. Jesus Christ is the main mission. I am going to just, I guess, speak to a few things that, in all honesty, it should go without me even saying this, but just to put maybe a few things at rest right off the bat, and hopefully for the guys preceding me, again, any maybe preconceived, because here's the fact is the word submission, and I've heard pastors say it like the S word, right? So the thing is, the word submission often is there's a perception that it's a dirty word, but it's not, and that's what we're going to talk about. So first of all, godly submission is not a demeaning word. It's not a dirty word, right? And apart from God, submission is not an inferiority. So to be submitted, to be in submission, it does not mean a lack of opinion or value, does it? And we're all to be submitted. We're going to talk a little bit about this, but and then the next point, again, it should go without saying, but I'm just going to speak it, is that submission is not blind obedience to sin. And what I mean by that is our submission to godly authority, our submission to one another, it never overrides God's authority, does it? And we all know that. But humans, we're capable of failure, right? So like I'm capable of failure as a human, as a man. And that's actually one of the things I love, and I say this over the pulpit, I feel like often, but that's one of the things I just love about this church, is that the things that are spoken over this pulpit, we're actually commanded to search the Scriptures for ourselves, right? So the point is that it would not be biblical for someone to submit to false doctrine that I was teaching over this pulpit, right? So as a church, we're commanded to search the Scriptures. Don't just take my word for it, in other words, right? So again, that should all go without saying, but just so we're clear on that. But going back to the Scripture in Philippians, Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus, as a man, he had to submit his will to God to die on the cross, didn't he? So our first line of submission is always to God, right? And that's our primary mission, is submission to God, aligning to his will. And this is even when it's difficult. And we see this example in the opening scripture. Jesus, we know that he did not want to die a Roman crucifixion, right? He, as a matter of fact, in Matthew's account of the same story, Jesus, he prayed three times, like, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He had to lay aside his will. He had to submit his will to the obedience of Christ, of God, right? To die on the cross for our sins. And so there is a biblical order where Christ is the head. Of course, we are the body. And when we're submitted to that fact, we are laying aside our own will, our thoughts, and our pride, aren't we? And we're putting our trust in him. But the thing that I having a hard time just overlooking, I guess, and I'm just going to be maybe a little bit blunt, but I just, you know, in reading this scripture and some of the scriptures that we're going to be discussing, the thing that keeps really jumping out to me is that if we have an issue with godly submission, we have a pride problem. And it probably sounds blunt, but it's, if we look at the scripture that we just read, this is exactly the direction it's going, isn't it? And so when the next area of that I'm just going to touch on here is that we do have, so of course we're submitted to God. That's first and foremost, but we do have a God appointed authority, and that's, pastor is fulfilling that role. I'm thankful we have a pastor that watches over this church. Amen. Amen. I believe that Pastor Paulson is in the will of the Lord in the season of life in this hour that he's in, and God has given us a pastor that we are to submit to, and I'm thankful for that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And it would be unprofitable for us to not obey and to submit, right, to our godly authority. And here's the thing that I'm not standing up here I don't have it all figured out, but here's what I know, and I'm beginning to understand. Let me just word it that way: is that for the person that would think that as Pastor Paulson is a pastor in a position that it's just, and I'm not saying anybody feels this way, but certainly at times there have been where it's just, it could be perceived that there could be somebody up here just saying, you must listen to me, right? Like, submit to me. But here's the thing is that, and it addresses this in Hebrews 13, is the role of leadership as an elder, as a pastor. There's a lot of weight on his shoulders. A lot of weight. We can see it in this portion of scripture right here, because pastor has to give an account for our souls. And additionally, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses, I'm going to start with verse 1. I was going to use the later portion, but it actually just all ties in together. So I'm just going to read through this real quick, and I'm going to bring it to an end here. But 1 Peter 5, 1, the elders, this is speaking to the elders, the, you know, pastor and the elders of the church. So the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and in witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So, again, just to the point that the the position of pastor in this case, it's a serious deal to stand behind the pulpit for him to be in leadership for anybody in leadership as an elder, as the scripture declares here. But as the scripture continues, and this is where I'll kind of bring it to an end here, but we are to finally submit ourselves, of course, mutually to each other, right? And as we continue on in verse number 5 in the same chapter here, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The reality is that a submission is not weakness. It's literally the opposite. It's actually spiritual strength in submission, in godly submission. So godly submission involves laying down my pride, right? Like when I, and this is what I just couldn't get away from in pastor, I submit to you. So anything that you have authority to correct anything that I'm saying, but I just don't feel and see in scripture how pride and humility, these things that are addressed in scripture, they can't really be separated from submission. It's just in scripture in a lot of places. But here's the thing is that when we humbly trust and obey God, God will not only exalt us in due time, but it's then that we are able to cast our cares upon him. So in verse number 6, everybody knows 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth. We quote that verse all the time. But that's really a continuation of verse number 6, where it's really talking about humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and you'll be exalted in due time. And I believe the reason for that is the proud person cannot cast their cares upon the Lord, right? Because they're bearing that burden themselves. And so here's the point is that there is a freedom and a liberty that comes through submission. And here's a thought that I wrote down. Submission is a natural byproduct of godly humility and obedience to his will. Submission is a natural byproduct to godly humility and obedience to his will. So when we're properly submitted to God, we will be properly submitted to godly authority. It's a natural progression. When we're properly submitted to God, we'll be properly submitted to godly authority. We'll be properly submitted to one another. Submission is just working together for the main mission. Jesus, right? Because we are the body. Jesus Christ is the head. There's one body and there's one head. And I'm going to close with this last portion of scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, the prison of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthily of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I will say that I didn't give these guys a lot of time to put this together. Just a few hours before church, I texted them and asked them if they would do this tonight, but that was a great word, Brother Jaden. And their response in the text message was kind of interesting to me, actually. So I asked them to text me that they had received my message. And Brother Jones, big smiley face. Brother Pete says, "I got it." And Brother Jaden said, "I submit." So, Brother Pete, would you come?
About 32 years ago, somewhere in there, we were taught a Bible study, Shelly and I, and we had a night where we put the kids to bed. We were sitting on our bed, and we were talking, and we this crazy church down on 19th and Avenue C, and are they the only ones going to heaven? And I said, I had this brilliant idea, great words of wisdom. Well, let's just cover our bases and make sure we get to heaven by repenting, getting baptized in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And of course, that was not submission, was it? It was just a dumb idea, because some kid that didn't know any better just said wanted to cover his bases and go to heaven, and that was not submission. And here's my definition, pulling from some Greek. Submission has nothing to do with superiority, inferiority, authority, or position. It doesn't mean slavery or domination. The root word is actually a military word used in the first century, and it draws the meaning of drawing up troops into battle array, with the prefix meaning under. So the definition actually means it's to voluntarily get in order under someone, is what it means. The actual Greek word on it, and it does not mean one person is inferior to another. It means that the person is humble and willing to be ranked underneath as God sets. This is designed to bring order for a mission. It brings order for a mission. Anything with multiple heads is not natural and can be found in a freak show, because it brings order, right? There is one person in charge, no matter. And I'll go through a bit of that. In Romans 13, it says, we're told a Christian ranks himself underneath God-ordained human government and obeys its laws as long as they do not demand that they disobey God's word. So in other words, it's called law and order, right? Law and order. It's not law and disorder, because it's order. We are submitted to government, which is one of God-ordained things in the world here, brings order. We are all equal before God and the laws of society. We're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be equal in the sight of law, but we know that there are people that get off. We understand that. And yet, we have different functions and responsibilities. Everybody has a different function and responsibility, and some people work for the city, some people work, you know, for the state here, some people work within the government, some people don't. You know, but we're all equal. And 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise. So I want to just go through some things about submission, what the Bible says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So we hear First Peter 5:5 tells us the younger are supposed to submit yourselves to the elder. This scripture I do not like, because Shelley is 8 months older than me, so I have to submit to her. when we do go out, if you ever go out to eat with me, I'll always be quick to ask one of the oldest people around, okay, would you pray? That's just what I like to do to submit to somebody that's older than me. And unfortunately, it's getting to be where there's not a whole lot of people older than me anymore. Except for I still do park far away and let the older people park closer. And I did notice I walked by a pickup with Minnesota plates there, so that was closer than me. Oh, yeah, Brother Jones, that's yours? Ephesians 5:17 through 25. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of God is, And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, we are equal before God, and a Christian wife which would rank herself under the husband and follow his godly leadership. The Christian husband ranks himself under Jesus and the pastor. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. So we understand that my wife, Shelley, has to submit herself onto me now because she's my wife, even though I'm older than her, or I'm younger than her. So, and then Ephesians 6:1-4 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, we are equal. And it's really, there is sometimes I think about this. I think about heaven, and I think about my grandkids. I think about my children, our grandkids. I think about that, and I'm thinking, you know, we're equal. It just is strange to think about that. Someday, we are going to be equal in heaven. It's not going to be these young kids and thinking I always think, you know, their kids are getting older it's tough to not think of them as your children. And at some point, we're going to be equal in heaven. And we're equal before God, but children rank themselves underneath their children and obey, or their parents and obey them. Ephesians 6:5-9, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness and sincerity of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasing. Not just when they're watching, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to man. In other words, we're working for God, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. In other words, God is going to pay. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatenings. Don't make threats to them, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. As a Christian employee or an employer, it's mutual that we rank ourselves underneath. In other words, we have to, brother, I can't call him Brother Chuppy. God, Brother Jaden said that the humility, there has to be humility in actually bringing yourself down and ranking underneath somebody. And he also mentioned this too, that in James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And really, everything would fall in place if we would just submit to God. All these things, because all of these things would fall in place. Because really, one thing about it is, these scriptures I read in Ephesians, there's actually a mutual submission there. It's saying, women, submit to your wives, submit to your husbands. But on the second side of that is, the man has to be submitted to God and do God's will and follow what the word says and love your wife. You know, that's a tall order, right? I pray that. I pray, God, help me love Shelley as you love the church and gave yourself for it. And that is, you know, I fall so short of that. And so it's a mutual, there is a mutual submission that's needed in those scriptures. It's the our children are supposed to obey us, but we're supposed to bring them up in the admonition and nurture of God. So we have a submission, as a mutual submission to do these things. And so there is a mutual submission in everything we do. And when we go and we submit to God, we will submit to God. Philippians 2, 10 through 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We will submit to God here, right? If we don't submit here, we will submit at judgments. We'll submit one way or another. We'll submit to God. And so we do, you know, if we could just submit to the word of God, right? This is what we need to submit to. And I understand, you know, I fall so short of it. I mean, only one person did fully submit to the word of God, right? Jesus is the only one that submitted fully to the word of God. And we are, you know, I think to myself, we are not complete packages, are we? You know, we try doing our best to be a complete package, but we fall. We might submit in one area, and we're a work in progress in another area. We just fall short. But you know, we can trust God. We can trust God that you know, and that's such a big part of it, right? To trust God that He is trustworthy. He has our best interests in mind. If we do follow this word, and we have a problem, we think, you know, I obeyed. There were times I obeyed it when I came in the church, and I submitted to it. I didn't understand it because I did not have any spiritual. I didn't have anything spiritual within me. And so I came into the church and I did submit to it. I didn't understand it, but he knows what's best for us. He knows what should be in our lives and what shouldn't be in our life. He knows the direction we should go. He's all knowing. He's love. He's loving, kind, generous, and joyful. And submission. One last thing. Submission. It transforms churches, homes, workplaces, and even countries. It would transform it, everything. Everything.
Amen.
Back in the 80s, when I met Brother Simons, I found out that he likes to wrestle. Still does. And we worked together, and it was like every day we had some type of a wrestling match. The grass was our mat, and he always tried to grapple with me. And one day he put me in the submission hold. That hurt. So he asked me if, you know, to cry mama and to give up. And, of course, my pride wouldn't let me do it. And I just suffered in great pain. Until I decided to do something very drastic. And I put him in a submission hold. And the only way that I felt like I could get out of it was to do something that it was extraordinary. So I reached up behind me and I put my thumb in his nose and my two forefingers in his eyes, and I began to squeeze. And he let go very quickly, and he submitted. And the reason why I tell you that story is that because I did something improper to cause him to submit. And he let go because of something that was improperly invoked. And that's the wrong type of submission. It's the wrong type of... And sometimes we will let go and give up, but we're not really submitted. Does that make sense? Because it hurt. And so we just let go, but it's like, yeah, I'm sitting down, but as I'm sitting down, I'm standing up. And that's not really submission. That's a false indication. And so I wanted to clarify a few things that I felt that really is not talked about much in 1 Peter chapter 5. And, of course, it's been read to us. But if we could just bring that back up again, if you will. And then also in Ephesians chapter 5 and 21, Brother Pete alluded to it, submit yourself one to another. And those particular verses are misused and misunderstood greatly. Now, before I go there, I want to explain to you, there's some laws of submission that has been talked about here today. Jaden talked about something that is very, very important. And there's some God-given, practical relationship commandments and laws of submission. God puts these in order. You submit yourself to your elders, to your leaders. And that's a spiritual commandment, a law of submission from God, given an ordained leadership to those that rule over you spiritually. And it's a very natural position, as Pastor Shane is he could just fulfill the pastorship, and everybody, there could be thousands of people that would come to church, but there's no submission. But there's a natural submission when it's God called. Amen? And when you have an elder or a leader that rules over it, it's very easy to submit or to recognize, unless something is otherwise involved in the individual, which we'll be talking about. That it is very natural for a church to be spiritual, to submit themselves to that type of leadership. Amen? And you sense that with your pastor here, and you sense that with other elders of the church. It's very easy because you recognize that there's some spiritual authority and understanding and connection with God that is unusual and supernatural. Amen? And so, therefore, that's the oracle of God. That's the law of God. And the law of God is very easy to really follow because it's spiritual. But it becomes physical when we don't humble ourselves. And we have a lot of pride, and all of a sudden pride gets in the way of submission. Amen? And so that's where the battle lies. So even though that we have a leader that's very ordained and spiritual and spiritually given to the church or given to a group of people, it's very difficult to submit and recognize that because there's an issue of pride. And Brother Jaden referred to that as that I got a will. Amen. I have a will. So so then Brother Pete, you mentioned the law of marriage, and that is a very specific law of submission that God has placed within a couple. That there's no choice over that. All right? That's a natural ordained relationship. If it's going to work, this is the ordinance of God in the proper relationship in a marriage. Amen. And so God does that. And it does not require of like who's in charge. God says this is how this leadership is. Problem lays again in the difficulty of that leadership. The thing is called pride. And so that interrupts the plan of God. And that's what disturbs relationships. And every one of us can nod our head even if you want to or not. Nod your head. And those that don't, I can recognize that we got a problem. I am just playing with you. And so very good teaching, both of them here. And so Those are two very specific things that God has laid out for the church. And if we are able to do that and humble ourselves through that, we'll find the unity in faith that is so natural with God that it will take away all the chaos and complications of relationship. Amen? Does that make sense? And so those are very specific things. Now, there's other types of submission that we find in the world or in life itself, and that's like if you're in the military, you have commanded to submit to that leadership, and you have no choice. And if you like it or not, you're going to have to say yes, sir, no, sir, and if they tell you to do certain things, this is yes, sir, and if you don't like it, it's irrelevant if you, so it's a, amen, you understand that. If you are under a contract with a business and that contract is laid out what you're supposed to, you submit yourself to that contract. Those are civic of submissions, and we have to have those. Those are important, and if we don't, we'll have chaos, correct? And so it's very easy for us because to do some of those things because we know the paycheck is coming at the end of the month and so therefore we got a reward. Amen, right? And so I'm going to just kind of submit because I have a reward for that. Unfortunately, do we not see the rewards that God has given us? And Brother Pete has laid it out so well, the harmony and the And so that's my prelude of what I want to speak to you about. Does that make sense? So we want to diffuse some of those things, like, do I have to? And if we say that, that's a human error on our part. It really is. And so that's why Peter begins to write, there's two things that's very important. And so there's certain laws of submission that God purposed for us to have a good relationship. Praise God. And we do recognize that if we're smart. Amen. So, and one thing that I wrote here that as Brother Pete was talking about, when we do that, there's a benefit. And so here's how this works. A lot of times when we have an issue with not humbling ourselves and having this inferiority, is that like I'm more important than you? It's opposite than being inferior. Is that we love God through other people. Now think about that. Instead of loving people through God. And so, for instance, if Pastor has this relationship, I'm going to love Pastor and learn to love him so I can love God. Because he knows God. So I have to, and that's a backwards relationship. I love my wife through God, which means this. I humble myself before God. I love God with all of my heart. I love my wife through my relationship with God. So I go through God. I don't go through my wife to love God. That's a backwards relationship. And I got a feeling that a lot of us do that in our relationships with one another. And here's the reason why. Are you ready? It's because we're not willing to submit. All right? Because if we find fault in, because we can find fault and errors in the person that we're loving God through. Uh-oh. Watch out. And so I want to touch that very clearly. Now, when we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, it's very, very specific here. Number one, it says, likewise, it says, younger, you submit yourselves unto your elder. Now, this is not just a spiritual relationship, but commandment. Peter writes this, and he says, I understand youth. I know what young men think. Young men think, are you ready for this, guys? And I know you're not going to believe me because this is, because I'm not right. This is the whole purpose of this. Is that, young man, you need to submit yourself to your elders. Now, you see, as we're growing up, we get to know things and understand things. So we think that we know more because we got it, right? And so when our elders corrects you and begins to tell you that this is how the things go, you go, well, I know better than that, and I can do it this way. And then now there's this fight, this battle, because the reason why you're learning to be a man. And so there's this pride that rises up. And pride is good. It gives you a definition. It gives you purpose. It gives you like something. But pride can be a destroyer too if you do not submit yourself to your elder. And that is not just a spiritual thing. You see, if you submit yourself to your parents and to the elders and people that is older than you, when you do that, you're learning a relationship with God that is so important. If you do not submit yourself, and parents, this is important for you, please, please follow this. It's a principle, and it's not just spiritual, but it has a spiritual connotation behind it. If you don't make your children submit to you and obey you and just be, oh, are you ready for this? And if you're just not consistent and you just let it go, but you do have rules, but you don't enforce it, what you're teaching them is God doesn't really matter. Because if your children don't submit to you, how do you expect your children to submit to God? Is this all right, Pastor? Because it's all about learning how to live for God in a proper relationship. And so that's why. So this is not, he's not saying that if you want to be, you know, it's a commandment, and it's really, it's not, it has a lot to do with spiritual things, like submitting yourself to, but it has to do with every aspect of life. Is that all right? Is that all right, young men? So really, you do yourself well, even though if you like it or not, he says, yes, sir. And just do it. And then you can still in the back of your mind say, this don't make no sense to me. I don't know why he's making me do this. But just do it, because you're learning the principles of God that's going to give you something that is so going to be so powerful. There's the benefit of that. Amen. So that's the first thing that Peter talks to us about. The second thing, he says this. He says, submit yourselves unto your elders. And here's the thing that I think it's misquoted and misunderstood and misused. All right, you ready for this? He says, and subject yourself one to another, and be clothed with humility. There's two things that Peter really talks to us about. Number one, submit one to another. Number two, be clothed with humility. And he puts that in all in one sentence. It's a lot. It really is. So he teaches us a very important thing called unity. If you don't have those two, you're disunified. There's no unity. There's no relationship. You're not unified with God. You're not unified with one another. That's why there's so much disarray in the home. And that's why there's so much disarray in a church. It's not because the color of the church pews or the color of the carpet is wrong, okay? That's causing conflict, all right? It has nothing to do with that. But it certainly brings it out. And it brings out the disunity, it brings out humility. I mean, pride is what it does. So he teaches that. Now, here's the deal. Peter teaches us unity, and unity is not created by talent, all right? It's not created by personality or structure. Unity flows from humility. If we're going to reach our world, it has to flow with humility. And so let's explore this real quick. Mutual submission. Let's talk about this for a moment. It's a big subject. Actually, the word subject is interesting, because there's another word to be a subject. Or willing to yield, or cooperate, or to place yourself under something. Submit yourself. Mutual means everyone does it. That's just a few. Now watch this. And this is what I think is a misnomer here, is that it's all right for us to think and feel and really personify that you need to submit yourself to me. And this is what the scripture is referring to, and we could really, really, really demand that and preach that. But see, it's mutual. Do you understand what I just said? Because see, when you submit, Junior, if I could just use you for a moment, I'm not abuse you. Okay, so the Bible tells us to submit ourselves one to another. So I have something to tell him. And his, what Bible says that he needs to submit. Now, but if I am not reciprocal, even though he does not give me something that tells me that I need to hear something, all right, you understand what I'm saying? Even though he doesn't vocalize that, my spirit needs to personify, watch this, that I'm going to submit to him even though I'm giving him instruction. I have to present myself to him as a vessel of submission to be able for him to submit himself to me. And that's the misnomer. And if we could understand that, that's unity. And the only way that we could do that, sis, is through humility. So if I come to you and I says, hey, listen, I told you, I asked you to do this. But if I don't have that spirit of willingness for that person to come back to me and say, and I need you to do this. This is where we have conflict, Pastor. This is where pride rises up. And this is where we have misunderstandings. This is where we have conflict. And this is where we have disunity. And that's why Peter says, you submit yourself one to another. Now, I'm going to further this. It has nothing to do with position. It doesn't, as Pete and Brother Pete and Brother Jaden says, it has nothing to do with belittling who you are and what you represent. You understand that? It doesn't take away your position of authority. And so, wives, this is so important. This is why we need to understand this. He says, you submit yourself. It does not belittle your position as a wife. It doesn't make you lesser as a human being in the kingdom of God. So, submission is not weak. It's a biblical submission is strength under control, not surrender of dignity. Jesus submitted to the Father, and he wasn't lessened. Submission protects unity. It removes some friction and competition. It removes ego. It removes pride. That's what submission does. That's what it does. It keeps the church from becoming a place of strife. Submission is the glue that keeps relationships healthy. Why did Peter call us for mutual submission? And I don't have a lot of time to go through this, but it's because the church is a family. That's why he does that. We're family. The second thing is because leaders and members need each other. Elders need members, and members need elders. And there's no hierarchy here. God just puts a spiritual leader to give direction. And thank God for that, because you know what? It's a difficult place. It's a difficult place to try to hear from God to give direction. It's not an easy place to hear God. And when God begins to speak and begins to tell you, like as he spoke to Pastor earlier for Sunday, it's not an easy thing to hear and then and to tell the church what God says. It's you. I promise you, all of you don't want to have that position. You don't. It's a difficult position. And because leadership, and because no one has all the answers, that's why we need to submit one to another. Now, it talks about being clothed with humility. It talks about the consequences of not submitting, and pride is, and pride kills and destroys. We know that God hates pride very quickly. So how do I live out this? How do I really live this out, this submission, this? And so I just want to give you a couple quick things, and then I'm going to be done. It says, first of all, listen more than talk. Because listening shows the value of respect. And that, not just with human beings, but with God. This morning I walked into the church, and I had a lot to talk about. This is between me and God. I had a lot of things to say. And something happened to me, sis. All of a sudden, something on the bridge of my nose, I can feel like something just hit me, struck me right there like a karate chop. Bam! Hit me right there. And I felt just this sensation, and then my tears were coming on my face, and it's like I just begin to melt before God, and all I can do is just say, I thank you, Jesus, for all this, you know. And my whole countenance changed, and it was like, okay, now listen. Quit talking. So that's how you submit to God. Part of it. Be willing to learn. Number two. Not only from God, but from anyone. And I learned from these young men too. I don't have a problem listening to them and learning from them. Prefer one another above yourself. Number four, be quick to forgive. Number five, avoid the my way spirit. Number six, serve before you lead. So I'm just going to stop there. And God bless you. I hope this helped you, Pastor.
Amen. Seems like, I don't know about you, but this subject brings an edge that doesn't sit well with the flesh, does it? It's just, it's sort of an uncomfortable thing to talk about. But it is so scriptural. And thank you, brethren, for bringing out what the scripture says. And I'll be honest with you, it's been on my mind a lot lately. And maybe it's just for me. Maybe it's just something that God's been dealing with me about. And because I've been thinking, like, even just you know, your everyday living and how you respond to people, how you respond to situations, doing it with humility and not pride. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 13:10, it says, only by pride cometh contention. If there is any contention in your life, it's because of pride. It's just the simple answer. So how do we conquer pride? We humble ourselves, amen, and we submit ourselves. And I God's called me to pastor this church, but it doesn't mean that I'm a perfect human being. I know that I have a sort of a domineering personality, that I know that when the guys I work with, when I show up, I can intimidate them pretty quickly. And I've evaluated that about myself, and I don't like it. And God's been dealing with me on this. And I've been just learning, like, when I show up, I catch the vision of the foreman, or, you know, who's running the job site, who's running the shop today, how do you want me to do this? And the truth of it is, I'm learning that there is a freedom in submission. There's a freedom in being like, you already have a plan. Let me follow it. And the same is true with our walk with God. Now, the great thing is when we submit to God, He will never disappoint. Like, His plan is perfect. Amen? Like, we don't need to give God grace. Because His ways work. So it should be really easy just to be like, God, you're right. What do you want me to do? Right? But then when it comes to submitting one to another, like, we aren't perfect. And they're your leader and your boss, your master, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, somebody's going to let you down at some point. Amen? But that doesn't mean we don't submit to them. And that's where we have grace with one another. And this is such a huge topic. But I think it's just so important to our walk with God. And really, you know, submission, there should be a spirit. We should literally be clothed in humility. And I don't know if I taught that message here or not. I have a message. I taught it in Fargo a few weeks ago, but it's interesting that verbiage that I think it was Peter that used, clothed in humility. If you look it up, I think it's that word clothed is like the only Greek, the Greek word in that verse is the only time it's used in the New Testament. And it literally means that, like, a slave would, the clothing that they would wear, they would have like a handkerchief, or it was like a little flag deal that showed that they were a slave, that they were a servant. And there was a distinction that they made because they were under submission. And Peter's like, we need, as the servants of God, we need to be clothed like that. Like, look at me. Like, I don't belong to myself. Like, I'm not my own person. You see this flag here? It means I'm a slave. I'm a slave to Christ. I'm a servant to God. And our flesh does the complete opposite. Like, we want people to know, like, I am my own man. I know what I'm talking about. I know how to do this, right? But Peter said, be clothed with humility. And really what it's saying is, like, I'm not my own. And being able to be teachable. And I could go on and on tonight. Let's stand. Thank you, gentlemen. That was a great word on submission. And again, this is a huge subject. It is something that the Lord, I'll just be honest, it's something the Lord is dealing with me on. And the truth of it is, it in some respects, it gets easier as you get older, because experience is such a good teacher. Amen? Like, I have these moments that even just recently where I just thought that I was absolutely right. And I was wrong. And you have a few of those happen to you. You kind of enter into a circumstance thinking, I might not know what I'm talking about. Like, I could be wrong here. Amen? God is so good. And I'm not... No one's arguing about the carpet color, by the way. I'll just throw that out there. Like, there's no issues. And I don't even really... Like, this is just something that... It's a subject that I'm not... There's no sniping going on tonight. I didn't have these gentlemen do this because I wanted them to talk about me, the pastor. And you all need to submit to me. That was not the purpose tonight at all. But it's such a scriptural concept. Amen. It's such a scriptural principle that we got to get down in our hearts in every aspect of life. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy tonight. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. God, I pray that you would bless and touch every family, God, here tonight, every husband and every wife, every man, woman, and child. God, we thank you, Lord, for your principles. God, we thank you, Lord, for your instruction. God, we submit to you. God, we submit to your word. We submit to your plan. God, we trust in you tonight. God, we lean not unto our own understanding. God, in the name of Jesus, bless this church, bless this people, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. God bless you.
Space, my world needs you.